Hey guys, welcome to the Evan and Caitlin podcast, the podcast exposing the secrets you need to know. Can we play X-Files music?
Wait, is that, wait.
I think something like that.
This is the wrong show. I don't know.
I think they combine. I think they follow each other. Wow, we really watch X-Files a lot. You can tell that we're experts at the secret information that you really need to know.
Experts.
Ah, very nice.
Sorry.
I was looking through the Evan and Caitlin podcast community page, and I saw a lot of people noting that you like when we talk about kind of the back end of YouTube, and oh my gosh, I was preparing today's podcast, and I just like started looking up a little bit of YouTube news, and there's so much going on, and I don't know how I haven't heard about all of it. There's like some big things that are really exciting. So
I'm excited. That's interesting because we watch like Philip DeFranco. Like we tend to keep up on, well, at least what Philip DeFranco is reporting on.
Like that's it. That's where we get all our news from.
That's kind of it, actually. But a lot of times we hear about stuff through that. So I'm surprised.
Yeah. So I'm like, we know some surface things. We know like, we like, it's like the ocean. You see like some churning.
Yes,
under the water. You see like some ruffling above the surface. But like I like put on my goggles and I went underwater and I saw what's down there.
What's down there, Grandpa Ivan?
Scary things. But we'll get to that later. First up, just thought I'd give you some what's new things. Yeah. Our life is slowly returning to like a more normal place. Which is great. Yeah. You know, we're streaming a little bit more, some more semi-regularly, and we've even been able to use our treadmill desk a little bit.
A little bit.
We haven't really been able to use it for, like, us casually playing games yet. It's kind of like
going
through emails
and browsing the internet brainstorming. I was, like, on Pinterest looking for inspiration for a project.
There were some people who doubted if we'd, like, use the treadmills. They're like, are you going to use this? I'm like, I really, really want to use this.
Yeah. I mean, it's an idea. It was one of those ideas where we were like, we're going to do this project eventually, no matter what. And it happened to pair nicely with the sponsor, but it's one that we've had on our to-do list for like months.
So as we continue getting our life together, we'll let you know if we actually use it even more and more. So
my plan is, I just want to like, because I've never been like a fan of working out.
Some people are. Some people are.
Some people like really get into it. Or like one thing specifically, like some people like really love running, you know?
Or really love swimming. I actually would like to swim more in the future.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've never found the thing that I really love. I would just like trudge through it, go through phases, stop working out. But my plan, because we don't get a chance to like watch a lot of shows these days, like we'll watch YouTube occasionally. We haven't watched movies in forever. And there's like some shows that I used to watch before we started the channel that I've just kind of dropped off on. So my plan is I want to start running, which is something I've never really done. But my incentive will be I'll get to like watch stuff on Netflix that I stopped watching a couple years ago just to like get caught up on it.
My thing is I want to play real-time strategy games. I think that would be really great
and
for...
run?
Well, you know, go for walks.
Oh, okay.
If I'm running, I want to work out. If I'm running, I'd probably like my activity of choice would probably be to watch those like really kind of like B movies, the straight up action ones that are kind of just mindless. Like I kind of want to watch Jumanji or something like that. Like,
Not a B movie. Oh, the new one.
The new one. Okay. The new one with The Rock and everything. I heard it's like generally funny like thing. Wait, is it Jumanji?
With The Rock. Yeah, with The Rock. Yeah,
we're like the people are transformed into characters.
I was just insulted because at first I thought you were talking about the original, and I was like,
the OG Jumanji? No, that's a great movie.
That's an A.
That's an A movie. But like, just like I kind of like some of those stuff. Like fluffy, dumb action movies.
Yeah,
you know, like that sounds good.
Yeah, it sounds like a sweet break and like a good incentive to run.
Yeah, so we are excited about that.
Yeah,
if we don't like if within 6 months we haven't said that we've done that, you should say...
You should publicly shame us.
Hey, do that. All right. Well, enough about us. Time for the juiciness.
Give me the juice. Okay, I have not looked into this.
I'm going to go through this and like the order you'd go through in a meal. So I have two appetizers.
Okay.
And then I have the main course at the very end.
I want a little snack, so give me that appetizer.
Tiny little snack. I wonder if anyone has noticed the YouTube change on the homepage.
The thumbnails?
The thumbnails have gotten bigger.
Oh, I noticed that.
But also, like, the quality of the resolution of the images have gone up. Longer titles are shown. But it seems like the community at large does not like it.
Well, it sucks because you can't see that much.
Yeah.
You know, like, the thumbnails take up so much space, you can't see as many options.
But I wonder if that will cut down on clickbait, like, long term. I'm trying to, like, take the devil's advocate approach here, because most people hate it.
Because a single thumbnail is competing with less other thumbnails.
It's less competition, and also, you have more visual space to work with, because, Caitlin, I think we've talked about this on the podcast before, but how long do we spend working on thumbnails?
Hours.
And we have friends that like spend a day or two days working on the title and thumbnail. And that's like what this change is. It's a change in the title and thumbnail, because we've also struggled fitting like the concept we want to explain in the small amount of words that are visible on the desktop experience.
That's true.
You know?
That's true. So it might change it some.
And it kind of brings it more in line with the phone.
Yeah.
You know, on your phone, you have about a certain width and a certain title length, and it was longer than on the desktop.
Yeah. And they kind of made it more match. And you're only seeing a couple at a time.
Yeah. It's interesting. I think, you know, I don't know yet. I just wanted to kind of get your thoughts on it as an appetizer.
Yeah. I don't really personally like it for the same reasons that I've seen other people don't like it. Because, like, you know, comparing it to the phone, I don't like the phone experience as much.
Oh, yeah, because you have to scroll through so much.
You have to scroll through so much, and I can look at a glance on the desktop version and see the same things that it takes me a few minutes to scroll through.
You know, it's really interesting. Most of the time, we choose thumbnails, we choose what video to watch based on, like, hey, has someone that we like made a video recently? And we can just look at the homepage and see all the videos and choose the one that we like. And I know most people go to their subscriptions for that, but we never use our subscription.
I know, we don't.
I know, it's weird.
Yeah.
Every time we go in there, we unsubscribe to a few channels. I feel so bad. I know.
I think that's why we don't use it, because we haven't cleaned up our subscriptions. Yeah,
our subscriptions feed is kind of useless.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah. But yeah, we go to the homepage. We see like, any of the channels we normally watch here? No.
No.
Well, I guess we'll find something else.
Yeah, go to Netflix or something. Netflix. Yeah. It's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It will be interesting to see if it changes thumbnail and title strategy at all.
We're going to have to, like, one thing that Caitlin and I do when we're designing a thumbnail for our videos is we have a Photoshop mock-up that we do, and we Photoshop our thumbnail into a batch of typical thumbnails, and we see
on a homepage,
a mock-up of what you'd see. We see, does it stand out? Is it eye-catching? Is it does it visually vibe with
the experience? We're gonna have to change it.
I know.
I mean, it won't be that bad. It was pretty easy, but still. Yeah,
but still. Anyways, okay, so that's an appetizer. Okay. This is like a slightly bigger appetizer.
Ooh, how many courses is this meal?
Three. This is the second of three.
There's no dessert?
No.
Dessert is the thing of the week.
Dessert is the thing of the week. Yeah, okay. The positive, delicious cherry on top.
Okay.
Of this stew.
Ew.
Because this is kind of like stewy. All of this, none of this is really good. That's going on with YouTube.
Okay.
I mean, maybe a mixed bag, but...
Okay, hit me with the next appetizer. Right.
YouTube Kids. We talked about this a little bit ago.
Yes.
And there's just updates. Caitlin, do you know that now that YouTube is like, nope, not us. Everyone who has YouTube channels has been getting notifications now saying like, all right, you need to mark all of your videos. Are they for kids or are they not?
Do you want to give a little background?
Okay, yeah. Okay. So... before this big change in the kids' content, there were kind of two YouTubes. There was YouTube and there was YouTube Kids. YouTube Kids is where everyone under the age of 13 was supposed to go. And of course, that didn't happen at all. I mean, young kids watched YouTube. And within YouTube, there was some age gating to content. Mainly it's 18 plus content. YouTube identified it and kind of hid it. So within YouTube, there was like some hiding a little bit, but it was all within the one app. Now, the government the FTC sued YouTube for collecting data on kids and people under 13.
Because kids were watching content on their like parents' accounts, not in YouTube Kids.
And based on this law called COPPA, COPPA, that's illegal. and YouTube was doing it, and so they got fined. So now what YouTube is doing is saying, like, hey, we can't regulate it. There's too much content uploaded, and we don't want to shut down YouTube. So we're passing on all responsibility to creators. So now when we upload a video, we need to choose, this is not for kids.
It's like a big new notification that's like,
huge new notification.
You are required by law to do this.
Yeah, it's and there like there was an old upload feature, and there's a new upload feature. And in the new upload feature, you need to check it. And when you use the old one, it says, hey, warning, you're not checking the thing. You need to go check the thing. It's like a big thing.
Hey, but we did the whole thing for the whole channel.
Yeah, so but like still...
the warning like, still pops up.
Now it's
a
default. Now okay. It defaults to, no, it's
like,
not made for
I
kids.
I didn't check it individually on the last video.
No, it's kids.
Because we did the whole channel. Okay.
Did the whole channel. Yeah. But anyways, If a channel breaks that rule, Caitlin, the law has stated that they can fine us up to $42,530 per video. Per video. So if you're a channel and you have 100 videos and the FTC goes to your channel and says, hey, those 100 videos, those appeal to kids. They could fine you like $4 million.
That's insane.
It's insane.
Well, it's hard because, like, okay, some stuff clearly kids, some stuff clearly not directed at kids.
Yeah,
I know,
but like,
there's
if it's
stuff that's
like child appealing, like topics or characters and stuff like that.
Like
our niece, she really likes this one wish character, and they grant magic wishes. And I think that if we did a video based around that, that's obviously kid appealing because it's around a kid show and it's very kid. But like, what about Minecraft?
Okay, well, here's one thing I'm wondering. Okay, so we have he's a patron, and his channel, he has like a character he plays. It's the Monster Maker.
Oh yeah.
So it's like a maker channel, but he has a character he plays that like very much comes off like it's like, you know, from a kid's show.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, and he has like this crazy set. It's all colorful. And he's like doing like woodworking and making and this and that. So he's doing projects that a kid probably wouldn't do. But his character like is very kid, not just kid friendly, but it almost feels like kid directed.
Yeah.
So I wonder, I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of. There's probably tons of examples.
He's just going to have to start cursing in all the videos.
I mean, that's a joke everyone's saying is like, well, I got to start cursing. Now I got to start cursing. But I know there's some stuff like mine. I mean, Minecraft is a great example, though.
But I mean, like, and the reason why people don't just say, oh, okay, I do make kid appealing content. But there's huge downsides to that. You'll probably cut your revenue by 80% loss. So you'll only be making like 15% of what you were making. You won't be able to like, you won't be able to comment, you won't be able to do all these things, all of these features that make...
Well, it's not that you won't, it's that people won't be able to comment on your videos.
Oh, right? Your videos, you won't. People won't be able to like your videos, they won't be able to... your videos might not autoplay, there's a lot of, like, huge downsides.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's a big incentive for people to not report.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there's a lot of channels that kind of walk that line.
Yes.
Or I know there's, like...
Well, there are definitely, a lot of channels that are, like, completely kids' content.
Totally, but also think about, like... So there's a family vlog. I think I heard about it on Philip DeFranco.
Oh, yeah. If there's a kid in the video, it's very strongly, like if you're like content features a kid, like someone
like,
under 13.
And we have friends that like make stuff with their kids.
Yeah. That might be kids directed. And then you might need to check that box, which means that video is going to go crash and burn.
That's so interesting, because, like, if you're... Oh, man.
No, this isn't fully set in stone. YouTube is putting all of these things in place. People are fighting it. Creators are fighting it. We're going to be linking down below to a change.org petition.
I think that... Is that the one started by the family vlogger?
Yep, okay. Yeah. So that same one. It's almost up to 300,000 signatures.
Dang.
And you can also reach out to the FCC directly about this ruling. We'll put that link down in the description.
FTC, right?
Yeah, FTC. What did I say?
I thought you said FCC. I don't know. This sounds similar.
Yeah. Very true. Anyways, it's just like such a huge thing. Because so like it's like by publishing a YouTube video, you are opening yourself up to a lawsuit by the FTC. And there's a video of this guy at the FTC, and he basically said, like, man, going after these YouTube videos, going after these content creators, they're like fish in a barrel. Those are the words that he used for people that he thinks are violating COPPA ruling. He says, content creators are fish in a barrel, and we're going to go after them. And I'm like, what?
I wonder what'll happen to think about. Well, I don't know what the current content is like, but think about something like a Jake Paul type channel where like there's clearly lots of stuff that's not appropriate for kids, but he's also clearly trying to get that kid attention.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like by having kids on, by doing like challenges that appeal to kids, by like saying things like, tell your mom to buy merch.
All of these changes go into effect in 2020. So I think that like pretty soon, I don't know, YouTube, the landscape of YouTube might change a lot. And I know a lot of you guys watch YouTube, and I thought that like if you hear people talking about this or you see changes being made, it might be because of this.
If your favorite kid-friendly content
starts cursing
like crazy, they're just trying to not pay $42,000 fines. You probably just throw one F-bomb in there. you don't have to curse like crazy.
Yeah.
Just drop
gosh darn it and a poop every now and then.
Effing resin pour. Is really.
I honestly think that all of our main videos should be completely fine.
I think they should be fine because I
actually do worry a little bit about our gaming channel.
I do worry about the Minecraft. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and other games in general.
It's like, guys, we just found Minecraft. We love Minecraft. Just let us play this really awesome game.
Enjoy this as adults, not making this for kids. Content. We just need to make more and more innuendos.
Yeah, just toe the line.
Yeah, just toe the line.
Yeah.
You know, not enough to be considered 18 plus restricted.
No.
But enough that clearly our jokes are not meant for kids.
Yeah.
There you go. Problem there you solved. Go.
All right.
That's what she said. That doesn't make sense. I'm just like, I just feel the need to say it.
That's what she said.
That's what she said.
You just totally remind me of Michael for some reason. That's what she said.
Michael Scott?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my point.
Yeah. No, but it's like the way you said it. It's just like so perfectly like Michael. All right. The meat. The secret sauce. The secret score.
Give me that meat. Give me that beef stew.
All right. So content creators, they're like, you know, there's this group of people who like a little bit ago were just like investigating all of the HTML, all of the CSS, all of the back end of YouTube videos. And guess what they found, Caitlin?
What?
A P score.
A P score.
Yeah. And what that stands for is like popularity, passion, protection, platform, production. It's like internal.
Whoa.
Well, I'll get to that later. Basically, it is YouTube's ranking of how good your video is for advertisers. Like, it's a number, Caitlin.
What?
It is a number.
What? Wait, so what are the P's again?
So I'll get to that in a little bit. Okay, but basically, oh my gosh. This is something that like,
so you
has
can
been
see,
speculated about. It has been talked about some.
Is that what determines people's CPMs?
It's partially what determines their CPMs. And if you get a high enough P score, you can be part of the YouTube Preferred program, which means you're like,
I've CPM, heard of the like, YouTube Preferred.
Goes,
woo! I've heard of that before.
Yeah, you earn so much more from YouTube videos if you're YouTube Preferred. Basically, that means like if you're a really big, you know, company, and you want really safe channels, you can say, hey, I want to pay extra for YouTube Preferred. These are the safe channels. You know?
I wonder if that list is changing now.
I don't know.
After the kids stuff.
I don't know. Well, if you look at it, let me pull it up right now.
Okay.
Let me know if you see a trend here. Just read out some of the top names.
Top names as in like...
Yeah, so this is the highest. This is the highest P score.
Okay.
And in order from top to bottom.
Oh, this is so sad.
All right, go for it.
The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. Late Night with Seth Meyers. The Tonight Show starring Jimmy Fallon. The Daily Show with Trevor Noah. Jimmy Kimmel Live. CBC News. Fox News.
Linus Tech Tips! Yeah!
An actual YouTuber.
But it's like you know, he is kind of safe because it's just about computers and stuff.
Yeah.
Will Smith is up there.
Huh.
There are some gaming
hey,
channels.
Hey, Vandos Gaming, you're a voice twin.
But also, 5 Minute Crafts is up there.
PewDiePie's up there?
Yeah.
I'm kind of surprised.
Well, P-Score, I'm going to go into what the P-Score means also in a little bit. Again, how
Cocoa
some of this...
Cocomelon nursery rhymes, I bet they're getting nixed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's bad. Okay, so let me...
I wonder if 5-Minute Crafts will get nixed. Or like Troom Troom.
Okay, so you this know? Is... These, oh this gosh. Is some of what determines your P score.
Okay.
Popularity. Repeat engaged viewership.
Okay, so PewDiePie's winning there.
Killing there. You know, okay. People go back again and again
every
and again.
Day.
Popularity. Yeah. That just means like popularity is just kind of straight up how many views and how many of them are returned views. So if you guys watch a lot of our videos and come back a lot, that's really helping our popularity score.
It's almost sounds more like a loyalty score.
But it's also just like the sheer
like
number
lots
of views.
Of them.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like the more views, the better your P score is for popularity.
But repeat engaged viewership.
Yeah, that's especially good.
Okay.
Passion, how engaged they are. Just like we said in the UR, the algorithm, just like we speculated.
Yeah.
Comments, shares, likes, raise your P score.
Because that shows how engaged your audience is.
Yeah. So protection, content suitability. So that does kind of tie in. Like that's like they scan your content. Is there anything mature? Is there anything not safe? Is there anything that like might age gate you or whatever? So that's one part of it. Platform. This is so interesting. You get extra points if people watch your content on bigger screens.
What?
And that kind of makes sense.
It does kind of make
if
sense
if people are watching on
the
your
ad
phone
on a bigger screen.
No, but also if you're watching on a phone, you're kind of on the go. Your screen might be locked. You might have it to the side. You might have it like down and away or something like
that. So you might not be paying full attention.
You may not be paying full attention. If you're on a computer, you might be paying more attention. But the golden, the cream of the crop is if you play our content on a TV. That means it's entertainment. That means it's like
that means
you're
like
watching
dedicating,
it with a show.
Yeah, you're like dedicating
with a
time
with a dinner.
To watch it. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like watching our content on TV raises a P score.
Whoa, that's so crazy.
That just like blows my mind a little bit.
And I mean,
it's an
sense.
Interesting characteristic because it does make sense.
Yeah, like you're more likely to have a like more, slightly more captive audience.
Yeah,
and
you're sitting down and you're like watching it. You're not like
you're not as distracted.
Yeah, so if you have a high platform P score, that means that like. Like people are watching your content from a couch, basically.
That's so strange.
I know.
Okay.
And then this kind of blows my mind too. Production, sophisticated camera work, and cinematographic technique raises your score.
How are they measuring that though?
I don't know. Is it like if it's just probably like a static like this video right now probably gets a really low production score?
Oh, because we're
it's just
like a static
the two
camera.
Of us sitting here like dunguses, like just with a static background, like full noobs. We just need to add some camera shake, add some pans, add some explosions in the background. Pew 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 pew.
Are you saying that because you said that? Do I have to do that in post?
No. Okay, let's not do that.
Yeah. So an algorithm, I feel like could theoretically determine that, like if it's one camera or if it's
like,
moving.
Yeah. Is it swapping
it could probably
back and
also
forth a
look
lot.
At
is
like it... quality. Like, are you updating? Like, are you uploading at 1080p or are you at like a super low quality?
Well, but I also think that it can take image. It can take still images of your. Video, run it through an algorithm and see how good your camera is. Basically, are the lines crisp? Is there contrast? Is there depth of field? It can like, Google can totally like grab a still image from your video and judge it completely.
That's
they could
so
totally do that.
Weird.
I know.
That's interesting. That would be.
But
a factor.
The crazy thing is, after these content creators came out with this list, published this thing, got this press. All like the you can't find the P scores anymore. They're not
hidden?
They're hidden. Yeah. So
I kind of wanted to look at ours.
I know we can't find ours. So these this team of content creators, they went through the internet and they found like they just looked at 234 channels.
Wow.
And I was sitting next to Caitlin and I was Googling some of these like channels with low P scores. And Caitlin looked over once and I was like, because like, it was like a weird channel with weird thumbnails that weren't fully appropriate. And I was like, Caitlin's going to think I'm weird. Just like looking at these weird channels and stuff.
Doing your research.
Doing my research over here. But I could kind of tell. I see what they're talking about with this Peace Corps. But what's crazy, I mean, you know, one channel that we really like, Nerd City, left a comment on one of these videos saying, we need to have this Peace Corps and all of its component ratings visible to the creators. It's unfair to hide this. And he mm-hmm. was kind of saying, like, look, why can't we see what our Peace Corps is? And I understand the counter argument of, well, if you know your Peace Corps, you can hack the system. You can try to reverse engineer it and, like...
But, like, playing devil's advocate to that statement, if that resulted in more channels being more advertiser-friendly, yeah. wouldn't YouTube like that?
Yeah, I kind of agree with that, actually. That's a really good counterpoint.
It's maybe not the best in terms of, like... diversity of content on YouTube, because it means people will all be like, you know, anyone who's trying to like do it as a job will be striving for these like Peace Corps norms.
Yeah.
You know, but if you're YouTube, you could see it as like, well, hey, if we publish these Peace Corps and everyone's trying to like up their camera work, get their audience more engaged by asking them to comment, like all these things that make them better for advertisers. Wouldn't YouTube want that?
Now, what's really interesting is Google put out this this Peace Corps a little bit ago, back in April of 2019.
But it got this year.
Very few views because this is like an unlisted video. I think it's on YouTube advertisers and it's targeted towards advertisers. Like, hey, advertisers, are you wondering like how we like ensure quality and stuff? We have this Peace Corps. Like it's made up of all these factors. So you know that like when you spend money here, it's going towards good, high quality videos that you can trust. And then it was found that that report came out 2 weeks ago. I'm showing Caitlin the comments. So this came out April 10th, a while ago. Mm-hmm. And all of the comments, all these angry people, all commenting 2 weeks ago, and this all blew up.
Oh, my gosh.
And the like-to-dislike ratio is like,
It's real rough.
It's real rough. This kind of upset people. But at the same time, I mean, this is like a big thing. I think this is a huge revelation.
Yeah.
And it only has like 14,000 views. I don't know.
That's crazy.
It's crazy.
Man.
I know, it's a lot to process. It's a lot to process. And YouTube, Creator Insider put out a video kind of responding to it, clarifying some things, addressing those issues. I think that's really cool. I like that Tom got out there. He's one of the engineers there, and he tries to clarify things like from the engineers behind the scenes and like what all of this means and stuff. And that like clarifying video only has 7,000 views.
So this whole thing, it's like...
It's like 7,000 views,
and
it's such a big thing. It's like such a, I think it's huge.
I think it's huge too. I mean, I remember back when the like demonetization scores were like first found out. I think Nerd City was the first one to
put
them out. He was where we saw it. Like such a big thing. And this seems like it would be just as big of a thing.
The people looking at
Nerd City's going to do a video on it.
So the people looking at all the people who looked at the code also found, so they found the Peace Corps, they found a rating and a throttling status.
Whoa.
A throttling status. So like if that video is throttled for one reason or another, like that was some part of that data was like publicly available too. And we'll link to like the article writing up all of this more in detail, but it's like so crazy. But the Creator Insider update on this, I think it's really interesting. They said, they kind of stated in much more words stuff that we've been guessing at for a while. And they said, look, the monetization team, which has the Peace Corps, is separate. It's a separate team from search and discovery.
Mm-hmm.
So he said that like they're separate teams, different goals, different objectives. But he did say that like, you know, both monetization and search and discovery may use similar data and potentially overlapping data. Like one example he gave is mature content. The monetization team might not place a sponsor who is afraid of that on that video if it's been flagged for mature content. Mm-hmm. On the search and discovery side, if the viewer that is watching the videos is more of a general audience viewer and hasn't shown a preference for mature content, that video will not likely be recommended or play next if it's been flagged for mature content. So that's like one data point that's affecting both in similar ways, but like independently in air quotes. But like, look, your P score is probably like a slight indicator of what your search and discovery score is like.
But even if it's not.
Even if it's not. Yeah, even if the P score is only determining how much money you make on ads.
That's only your livelihood.
That's only your livelihood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which in some ways, I mean, the two are tied, like views and how much you make per view.
Yeah.
They're both important because they determine, like, can you make a living doing this or not?
Yeah. But also, like, you know, old YouTube at some point in the past was just based around views. You know, if you got views, you did good. You know, and I think that's how a lot of viral videos happened.
Yeah.
You know, like there's this one video that just like, boom, boggles my mind. I want to pull this up because this is like the video that just sticks in my head for like, why did this video?
Oh, the driveway refinishing?
11.9 million views. It's a channel that's not very active. Their average channel like video views are between like 50 and 200 maybe. And this video that I'm referring to is just like a Nest recording of a driveway, and this refinisher comes to seal it, and it's just like the algorithm like freaking out, and it just like it just doesn't make any sense. But this is kind of like what might have happened in the past. Like somehow this video got clicked on again, and because it got more views, it got more clicks, and it's like, well, why does this driveway video have 11 million views? And then I clicked it. I'm one of those people who clicked it, and I'm like, well, why is this showing up in my recommended with 11 million views about a driveway? It must be great. It's not. It's not good at all. And I think that like this might be killing viral videos like this, but even just like viral videos in general, like Star Wars Kid.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like the old school, old viral videos. Like, I wonder what effect all this will have on that, because there's a definite preference to like entertainment content, you know, like content that competes with like the Netflix and the HBOs and stuff
content
like that.
That's more like regular shows.
Yeah.
Where not regular necessarily as in it's like a TV show, but like it's put out regularly, it's consistent.
Yeah.
It's a certain level of quality. Although I kind of feel like the old style of viral videos like
has been dead for a little bit.
Yeah. Just, I mean, it can still happen every now and then, but I feel like it just seems more rare. I mean, maybe I'm just in a YouTube bubble now. I don't use it the same way as I used to back in, you know, college.
Yeah. But like, oh man, the when I found out about the P score, I just knew we had to do like an entire episode on this, because like once this gets out more broadly, I wonder if that's gonna affect content in general. Like, I didn't know that production.
Yeah.
Like
that kind of boggles my mind.
Like, and dude, I wonder, I really want to know, what's our production score?
Yeah, what's our production score? Like, are we doing a good job?
What's our production score on our main videos versus our gaming videos? Because our gaming videos have a lot of editing done. Our editors do an amazing job with like zooms and changes and all sorts of stuff. But I wonder if it recognizes that it's a video game. Do all video game contents have a lower P score? But at the same time, a lot of, you know, channels with high P scores were gaming content.
Yeah.
You know, it's like there are people really high up there, like Jacksepticeye, PewDiePie, Vanos Gaming. But also one thing that's interesting, First We Feast, which has Hot Ones, is really high up there with the P score. But Cold Ones, which is about drinking beer and answering questions, that has a really low P score.
Oh.
Yeah. Maybe because it's about drinking, because it's beer. I don't know.
Oh, that's so interesting.
But it's a similar format, but like First We Feast, really good P score. Cold Ones, low P score.
That's so interesting. Any other like trends or like weird things you noticed?
I haven't looked through this enough.
Jake Paul has a high P score.
Yeah. I think that's because it's like such an odd mix of things. You know, like if you have a good enough viewership, that can just raise your P score by itself.
It's just,
you know,
interesting because there's things on here that I wouldn't think of, because like they've kind of been deemed as
not safe.
Not safe.
Yeah.
Like like Jake Paul.
Yeah.
For example, like I would think that wouldn't, that he would be deemed not as safe for advertisers.
Or H3 podcast. I know H3 yeah. podcast has said that his AdSense isn't that high, but at the same time, like this is the aggregate P score. I wonder if like one P score is more important than the other. Like what if like, you know, in order to pass a certain threshold, your protection P score needs to be high enough.
And
maybe like, you know, the H3 podcast has a really high popularity P score, but a low protection P score. I don't know. You know, it's like at this point, we're just like guessing and theorizing again because no data, because it's private. But it's really interesting.
It's so interesting. There's so many. It seems like more and more regularly there's stuff like this coming out where like yep. YouTube secret codes, YouTube secret scores, YouTube secret numbers. And like YouTube's a big company, but YouTube's also got a large amount of users. And I feel like people are just going to keep cracking this stuff.
But at the same time, I mean, I think that like they will continue to hide that data. And at the same time, look, algorithms control everything because that's the only way that's the only way
well, that yeah.
any of this ever like there's so
I'm not,
much on
I'm
YouTube.
Not disagreeing yeah, with that. What I'm saying is like they try to hide the P score, someone's going to find out how to find it again.
Oh, you think that people are going to be able to find the P score
I
again?
I think so. Cuz it's just, you know, at YouTube there's people like helping to write the bots or do the things or make the decisions, but there's a lot of people who also want to find those things out. Who have found out a lot of stuff already.
But maybe like the P score will just be hidden and it won't be visible anywhere, even internally at Google, you know? I don't know.
I mean, it has to be visible somewhere. How are they sending it to the advertisers?
I don't know. Yeah, I guess some people at YouTube must have access to this P score content.
I think there's going to be a anonymous group of YouTube researchers.
Oh, you think it's going to be a leak?
That form a company and pay to advertise on YouTube just to get the back end info.
Oh, and then they see what channels show up based on what criteria and everything. And then via that, they can like, because if you know,
they can reverse engineer
You don't need to know what the black box is if you feed stuff in and you look at what comes out the other end.
Yep.
You know, you understand what the limits are, what the.
I can totally see that happening.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you pay more, Like increase your budget higher and then lower and then see what channels show up and disappear.
Mm-hmm. Or like set your, I'm sure the advertisers have some ability to set their criteria, you know?
Yeah.
Like maybe everything is important to them except the content suitability. Maybe they're like, put us on anyone. We just want the popularity score to be high.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. We just want eyeballs. Just eyeballs.
Like it seems like it would be logical that they would have some say in prioritizing those things.
Yeah. Well, one thing that's interesting, quick question. Mm-hmm. Knowing all of this, would you have changed anything that we've done?
No.
Yeah. I don't think so either.
I think it's more fascinating. The only thing I would change is starting our channel earlier because all the people at the top are either like TV/traditional media people or they just started a really long time ago.
They started a really long time ago.
That's the only thing. But no, I wouldn't change how we've done anything.
But you know what's another interesting filter? Like I've been thinking about the, oh, just start a long time ago and just stick it out and you'll be a lot higher. And to some degree that's true, but at the same time, like between the people who started a long time ago, like back when Shane, you know, started and everything, if you think about how many people started YouTube channels between when he started and now, and then like between 3 years ago and now, it's like so many people like create channels and drop out. So it's like, yes, if you started a long time ago, the people who are still around and started so long ago, they're all big. But also it's just like partially because they survived, because they succeeded. You know, we are only seeing the people who did well. And we're not seeing all the people who started 7 years ago that like
stopped.
But
I make the assumption that like, if we started, then we would still be around.
Yeah. Like, but at the same time, one thing that's so interesting is back then, back in the earlier days of YouTube, the content that we're making, it might not have done well. people weren't sitting down like if we made our video now, it's like, could you see it like getting shared and going viral and like the old ways? Because like,
no, because like, we make like 23-minute videos.
Yeah, back when like Shane started, like that wasn't what people made. They made like really quick, funny skits and sketches and stuff like that.
We can do quick, funny skits and sketches.
Yeah, but would we have wanted to build up our channel around that?
I don't know. It's a lot of pressure to be funny.
It's a lot of pressure to be funny.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, you know, like going a little bit behind the scenes, I mean, I think we talk about more in the coming after show, or well, an after show we're going to record tomorrow probably, but the intro to our next video, we struggled a lot with that intro because we were trying to make it funny. We're trying to do a skit, and like we struggled for a day and a half.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. I think another interesting thing about like is going back a bit, but a potential downside to starting earlier is, you know, a lot of people start YouTube just as like a hobby. We started it hoping it would become a job because we wanted to work together. Yeah. And it seemed like a fun way to work together. But if we started it, you know, 10 years ago, it wasn't something people could do
as a job, not
really,
nearly as easily,
you know? And so maybe we just wouldn't have started it then.
I don't think we would have. I think that like for me, maybe, but for you, I think it would have been really hard because you are very practical.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't, back then, you wouldn't have known that like it would be worth it in 5 years.
Yeah. I was much more like play it safe.
Yeah.
Like had my internship and I got the job at the place I had the internship at and that and, you know.
You started the internship before you'd even graduated.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. Would you have done anything different?
I don't think I would have done anything differently, but like, you know, the reason why I'm saying that is because we do have a successful channel. I mean, it's like partially because we did succeed that we're like, well, I wouldn't have changed anything because we succeeded, you know?
That's true. But it would be interesting if we had, let's say, you know, in all of our videos, we had our niece with us.
Oh my gosh.
Because it's like, oh, that would be so cute. It'd be like a fun shtick. And our niece is super cute. And wouldn't it be fun if we did projects with her?
Oh.
But then, you know, if we had gone down some kind of path like that, where we'd be more at risk for being considered child-directed
content. Or even if we made a video, like, where we made something for her and she was like a central character to the video, then
maybe that one video. I'm thinking more channel wide
stuff. But even then, that one video might be marked as we would have to say like, yes, this is intended for kids, and then we can't do that channel wide thing. Oh.
Yeah, I don't know. So yeah, I mean, maybe we would say different things if we were. I mean, this is two different things we're looking at: the Peace Corps and then like the child directed content. But
yeah, and the child directed content isn't like set in stone yet, but it's looking like it's going in that direction.
You know, one of the most interesting things about the Peace Corps that like gets me is production.
I know, right?
Because like one of the big messages of YouTube is like, you know, anyone can do it. Anyone can just start filming themselves and uploading. And yes, that's technically true because like, you know, phones have such good cameras these days and this and that, but it still seems kind of like anti-YouTube.
Yeah.
Because part of the, like if I see a video that's too polished and seems like it's a company doing it, I'm kind of turned off by it. And like,
but at the same time, I mean, popularity kind of counterbalances that. And it seems like popularity might be one of the most important things based on that Peace Corps list that we're looking at.
That totally seems like it. But one thing
that's
interesting
is like, yeah, like the late night show with Stephen Colbert has like the highest Peace Corps and it has really good production value. But like, honestly, PewDiePie is a lot more popular, obviously.
Well, and also look at like, okay, so looking at the chart.
Yeah.
I'm looking at some of the top Peace Corps. But some of them have relatively low subscribers. Like CBC News has 1.5 million.
Oh, yeah.
Not that that's a small number.
Their
but
views
it's
are probably very
super
small.
Super small compared to everyone else.
But they're probably the safest of everything up there. They're safer than The Late Night Show or Jimmy Kimmel because they might like use edgy humor or something like that. If CBC News got a really like pristine, like the safest score ever, then that might boost them. You know, it's like, again, we can't see how this Peace Corps is broken down.
Yeah.
I would have loved,
I would love a breakdown.
I'd pay a decent amount of money to like have full access. I'd really enjoy a few hours just being able to browse the full Peace Corps of like any channel. That, like, just out of sheer curiosity. I don't think I'd change anything, but I'm just like so curious. I just want to see.
Yeah, it's very fascinating to look at this list.
Again, we're going to link the list below so that you can like, when we're like waxing poetic about this list, you can look at it with us.
Yeah. It's just so fascinating.
Mm-hmm. And some are just like talking head type things, and
yeah, you know, which doesn't like, really go with the whole like production.
Yeah, because like the game theorist is just like, well, actually, the game theorist, they have a lot of special effects and stuff. Like the game theorist is just voiceover and a whole bunch of graphics.
Yeah.
And stuff.
Yeah.
And the odd ones out, that's like all like the hand animated animation. And stuff. But like that actually has a really high production value because he,
animates
it entirely himself.
Yeah.
That's or with so a team, I'm not fully sure.
Okay, so here's an interesting one. Number 67 on this list of the top, 230, is Philip DeFranco. But it's interesting because he's always talking about how his videos are getting demonetized all the time. So why is he getting demonetized all the time if he's in this top, like, 200 list?
But it's not a top 200 list. So
oh,
this,
it's not? Oh,
no.
It's just 200 random ones, and
it's
then they're
200
ranked.
Random ones, and they're ranked.
Oh, I see.
So Philip DeFranco being 60, was it? 67? He is almost like... Like, you know, like the people who made this list, they just kind of went around randomly.
Gotcha.
Just got, like, a few... you know, some of the bigger ones and just some people they're curious about, but, it was just a random thing.
Gotcha. Okay.
So Philip DeFranco being 67 isn't necessarily like, that great.
Gotcha. Yeah. We don't really know how top. Great it is.
These are just like people ranked in order.
So interesting.
So funny. YouTube's own channel is like pretty
number
low.
149.
Yeah. Probably because it gets really low likes.
Yeah.
It gets really low popularity and stuff. YouTube's videos don't do that great.
Yes, tough, isn't it, YouTube?
It is tough. It's really tough.
This is very interesting.
Yeah.
I feel like this is gonna blow up soon.
You think so?
I think so.
Because I don't know.
I think it will be maybe a slight delayed effect.
Because like the whole
blow. When I say blow up, I mean blow up internally amongst YouTubers. But like, not the, like you know,
in order for that to be covered, like it'd have to be like Philip DeFranco talking about and Jenna Julian and PewDiePie and
that's what I can see.
Like,
I can
all
see.
These big talking head people or not talking head people, but like you know the big like the, like big people of YouTube. Because
that's what I see saying. That's
the,
what I see.
The light isn't going to be shined onto this by like CNN.
Or, no, like, well, that's not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm saying it's going to be like Philip DeFranco and PewDiePie.
Mm. You heard it here first, though. Yeah.
Here on the very trusted news source, Evan Gaylin podcast.
Sorry, I don't know where that came from. All right. Well, I think that kind of concludes the Peace Corps. I don't want to like harp on it too much, but like,
it's
I'm
very
just,
interesting.
I'm just like, you know, we're probably going to go on a walk on our treadmills later and keep
talk
on chatting
about
this.
I want to look at the rest of the list.
All right. But for now, let's move on to Thing of the Week. My Thing of the Week is blue tape. And you might be thinking, duh, Evan, blue
Everyone
tape.
Everyone loves blue tape.
Everyone loves blue tape. And blue tape is amazing. But this is not just any blue tape.
No.
This is exterior grade blue tape.
Yes.
We first found it when we were working on our door.
Our front door. Actual exterior front.
Yeah, because we wanted to leave like drop cloths taped to the side of our house for days.
Because we're painting the door and we needed the door to stay open.
Yeah, so we got this, and it worked great for that. And we've just been finding ourselves using it again and again and again and again. It's like blue tape. It removes really easily, but it's stronger.
So much stronger.
It grips better. It's like, it's great, and always.
It's like blue tape on steroids.
It's great.
Yet it releases with this, like, without residue.
Yeah, it's like an under known under. I ran out of words.
It's a little known thing.
It's a little known thing that's amazing.
Yeah, okay.
And that's why. It's my thing of the week because I just feel strongly about that.
I think are almost out of our role.
Yeah, we need more.
I know. Okay, my thing of the week's kind of random. So, not too many nights ago, I was having a hard time sleeping. And I was like, I just need to pull up something brainless because my brain kept going down all these idea rabbit holes and this and that. And so, I opened Reddit. And I saw this video where it was like, it looked like the underwater robots. Not
submarine?
Rover. No. They're like not manned.
ROV.
ROVs.
Yeah, remote operated vehicle.
That's why I had Rover in my head, because ROV. Okay. Yeah. It's like...
A ship on the surface dropped this robot down underwater.
Yeah, so it was a video where this robot had come across a whale fall, I think it was called, which is basically where like a whale dies, falls to the ocean floor, and creates this ecosystem of all these other animals
eating it.
And it's crazy.
And by the way, the preface this, Caitlin loves deep sea stuff.
Oh, I love like deep sea stuff. Caitlin loves so
like, especially like creepy-ish deep sea stuff, especially.
Oh yes. It's so cool. So I clicked on this video, and the thing that I didn't expect is that, you know, I'm like watching from this robot's point of view, but there's all this commentary, and it's all these marine biologists who are like, "Ooh, look at that. Oh my gosh, is that a whatever shrimp? Oh my gosh, it is a whatever shrimp."
It was very wholesome.
It was so wholesome. And they're getting so excited about this whale fall. And they're like, "Oh, go to the left. An octopus. Oh my God." And they're just freaking out in the most wholesome way about this whale fall. And I'm like, "Okay, I need to know like what's going on here." So I click on the channel, and it's called EV Nautilus. And I went to some of the top videos, and they're all like 2 to 5 minute videos of this underwater ROV finding stuff. And like this cute, wholesome, nerdy commentary from this very excited marine biologist. But it's like really cool and super fascinating stuff. And it's like a really cute little squid for 2 minutes. And you just get to see what the little squid is up to and like react as these people are reacting. It's so cute.
So cute.
Yeah.
I love it.
If you have trouble sleeping. Or just if you just want a little 2 minute brain break, EV Nautilus channel. We will have a link.
Yes. That's a lot of links in the description. We're going to have to like keep track of all that.
Whoever's of us is editing this will just write things down.
All right. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. It was kind of like a frolic through the obsession of YouTube that we have. I mean, you know, we live YouTube all the time. So this is incredibly fascinating for us. But maybe we'll return to a more typical type topic for next time. But anyways, by the way, if you do have a topic suggestion, go to youtube.com/Evan and Caitlin podcast and leave us a suggestion on the community tab. Mm-hmm. And while you are on your computer looking up Evan and Caitlin podcast stuff, you might as well pop over to iTunes, leave us a 5-star. We appreciate that. Yes. We've been doing pretty steady. Caitlin, we've been like in the top between 250 of the iTunes chart for our category.
Really?
That's pretty good, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
So leaving us a review gets us there, keeps us like chonking with these podcasts because...
Next episode, iTunes algorithm P-score.
Revealed!
Drama! Just kidding.
Good day, bye!
Bye.